Hosting for this podcast is made possible through mtgcast.com, which is supported by a generous contribution from quietspeculation.com, Magic's premier trading and financial news site.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of At Your End Step. My name is Morgan McCarl, and I am joined by Jordan Kennedy and Mike Kenny. And, we're going to go ahead and get started here. First, we're going to kick it off, and we're kind of going to go and take a look at some of our topics that we're going to go into today, just to kind of give you guys a brief overview. So we're going to take a look at the new standard format. We're going to take a look at all the awesome things that were announced at San Diego Comic-Con. We, of course, are going to visit our question of the week, and I bet you guys can't wait for that. And then lastly, we're going to talk a little bit about Legit MTG and sort of the news that came from that site regarding, its owner and some of the writers for it, and kind of what happened with that. It's been a huge thing for our community, and it's very important that we as voices of the community, I think we talk about it and discuss what happened. Let's kind of get things started off. So how are you guys doing today?
Fantastic.
Glad to be back.
The best thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, oh, yeah. Hey, Mike.
How was good old North Carolina?
So we stayed at a Westin Hotel, which is a very nice hotel, that also didn't have free Wi-Fi.
Oh, gosh. That's the worst thing.
So it was like, welcome to this $200 a night hotel. Please enjoy paying $15 a day for Wi-Fi. So I spent many of the evenings in the little lobby area. And, of course, that lobby area becomes like a bar at night. So you have to, like, sit in the corner with your headphones on and just, like, shake off. Like, you're like a pitcher to a catcher, like, shaking off the waitress. Like, you want a drink? No, I don't want one of your $20 beers. I just want your internet.
I don't know why they do that. Like, I guess I get it. They want you out in the city spending money. I don't know, like... I just think it's crazy. Like, just give me free Wi-Fi, and I swear I won't be in the hotel all night. LOL.
I don't know. It was very frustrating. Like we didn't get free breakfast either from the hotel, so seems like I'd rather stay at, like, a Days Inn and get free Wi-Fi. somebody might have gotten shot in the bedroom, but I don't care. I get breakfast and Wi-Fi, so.
Right, I can play Cockatrice.
I gotta share the story. I told you this, Jordan. So I did play some Cockatrice in the lobby, and I was Skyping with one of our friends while doing this. And I had this woman sit down next to me, and I was like, hey, just so you know, I'm Skyping with someone. And she's like, oh, okay. I'm like, I don't have a mic that's quieter, so I'm going to be talking audibly. And she's like, oh, that's fine. So I'm playing Cockatrice. So I'm saying things like, I'll attack you for this. I'll cast Smiter. And this woman just kept giving me weird looks while she's looking on her phone. And, like, finally, like, I got really excited about something. And I think it was, like, Attack with a Colonial Hydra or something. I'm like, yeah, get in there, this. And she's like, and just gets up and walks away.
Oh, that's adorable.
I'm like, I warned you. Yeah, well, I warned you when you sat down.
Yeah, I mean, you
were a good guy about it.
Yeah, you weren't like, you were just like being weird.
Yeah, I'm going to shove my ogre right into your elf's hole. It's like, what in the world? One of the things that I loved best about this introduction that we just did was that you assumed people care about the question of the week. That was...
Everyone cares about that.
You guys have probably just been waiting hand over fist for the past week to know what will they talk about this week. I lost
sleep
over
part
waiting
of
hand over fist. I
couldn't think. I couldn't think of a shut up, Mike.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and look at some new format. Look at some standard. So today, we definitely want to take a look at where we were last week with the Streetsboro, Ohio event that I went to, as well as the Richmond Open, and then kind of take a look forward into what we would expect this week and maybe further down the road. So I did go to it was a TCG Player Platinum event held by Empire Games in Streetsboro, and it was about a PTQ size. There was about 150-something players, 160-something players there, and I went with a couple of local grinders, one of them being Andrew Morrow, Riley Curran, and Elliot Mork, who are all, fairly good Magic players that we all go to the same shops pretty much. And it was a lot of fun.
So I would say he's pretty good.
Elliot Morse did take down the event with his Esper Planeswalker deck, pretty much. It is a little bit of a different take on Esper. It's something of his own brew. And he has actually been playing that deck since rotation. He basically was excited for Doom Blades. And that's about it.
Elliot plays the one deck for a whole season and then just like changes four cards.
And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Yeah. Because there was no one else that was playing a deck.
Another one of
my
friends took top eight with my deck. So, you know, that's... Right, I wasn't correct. There.
Yeah.
I told him that if he used my deck, it'd be kind of like Space Jam. So, like, he'd have my essence, he'd play better, and cry bigger. So it was pretty good.
Yeah. And that was our buddy Brian, who borrowed Mike's deck and did pretty well, top eighted as well. So we had two Columbus players top eight the event. It was very efficiently run. Round times were not overly long. And, yeah, it was a really good time. One of the most interesting lists, though, that I did see there was the second place list. And I actually am going to pull it up here real quick just so I can get the player's name that played it. And he goes by the last name of Lanigan. He writes for Quiet Speculation, I believe. And he actually played a red, white, black aristocrats list, but it was very heavily focused on the human element of the deck. So it had, you know, four of Zathrid Necromancer, four of Falconrath Aristocrat, three of Fiend Hunter, two of Thalia, Guardian of Thraben, Champion of Parish, Doom Traveler, Cartel Aristocrat, Tragic Slift, and also Increasing Devotion. So the idea of the deck, one of the most important cards, Blood Artist. So this deck actually has combo potential, because you can have a Necromancer, a Blood Artist, and you can cast an Increasing Devotion and deal 10 damage to them. or more, potentially.
That's insane.
it was an awesome deck. I kid you not. When Elliot was going to the finals, he was like, I don't think I can beat this deck. I just don't think I have the cards to actually take care of it, but he did get, did get good draws. He was able to play confidently and well. Like I said, he has, like Jordan said, like he plays a deck and he keeps a hold of it for typically the whole season, and he doesn't, frequently sway from it. So he knew his deck. He wasn't very familiar. He obviously wasn't familiar with matchup, but he knew what he needed to do. Lanigan himself, he did catch some bad breaks. He mulled the 3 game 1, and that was amazing, and still almost won. Just to kind of give, credence to the deck that he played. And it's something that I'm definitely interested in possibly, going into myself. In the event, I placed 36th, so it's not terrible. I didn't top 32, but finished X3 on the day. Out of 160 players, I mean, it's not anything to write home about, but I was still pleased with my performance. Most of my losses were... I lost twice to the Mirror Match in Jund, which was unfortunate. And I lost to Red Green Aggro, just because a double Rancord anything is sometimes hard to deal with if you don't have removal. And especially when you either are flooded or mana screwed. So, but all in all, it was definitely a worthwhile trip. Had definitely a good time. Empire Games is a great store to go to if you're in the, Canton, Cleveland area, or Akron area. Definitely go there, check it out. Their store is huge. The judges they have there are super nice. The event ran super smooth, and it was just a good time. And plus you got, it was $25, and you got 5 booster packs just for entering, which was huge. So,
yeah, Carl
it was a great event.
He's good. Carl does his thing.
He definitely knows how to treat, his player base and keep people coming back. And I'm not surprised to see, PTQ level attendance to a, platinum TCG player event. So,
by supporting Sane,
you got 4.5 boxes if you won. Elliot decided to go with store credit and just bought dual lands, so I can't really blame him for that. He definitely got some dual lands. He also got a cool plaque, which is pretty awesome. So I thought that was pretty nifty. And but it was a great time. I had a lot of fun, and you know, well, let's kind of take a look at a bigger event that happened in Richmond with
Well, our other buddy that came in eighth at the event ran the Mike's 9 mid-range deck, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the deck changes that he made. Like, Naya mid-range, for everyone that's not familiar, has been running, what's that sweet angel?
Sublime.
Sublime Archangel.
Mike's Naya.
Yeah. Like, a lot of lists have been running that. It gives every creature exalted. Mike was, you know, everybody says they're on the forefront, but Mike was pretty on the forefront of Sublime Archangel with that deck. And, you know, like, everybody over at Legit MTG, and there's a lot of lists on Star City, they're running the Sublime Archangel. Our buddy Brian cut the Sublime Archangels for Scavenging Oozes, and I didn't know what you thought, Mike, kind of being, like, not an architect, I guess an architect of this deck, and kind of like a first responder to what you thought about that cut, Scavenging Ooze for Angel, because they don't seem like the same cut to me.
I told him to cut a Gorklan Rampager and a Loxodon Smiter for a Scavenging Ooze.
Because I
agree to two oozes. Smiter and ooze are essentially the same thing. So if you play if you play an ooze on turn two, the next turn if you're playing against the aggro deck, things will have died. So you the idea is that you'll be able to grow just as big.
Right.
And Rampager like Rampager is really good, but the second and you know obviously beyond the first one, they tend to not be as effective.
Sure.
So like I don't mind cutting one of those. You know, our buddy Brian, he's definitely. I think we all have a little bit of difficulty with this. We see a deck and we immediately want to make changes to it. We don't really play it. I can't blame him for taking them out. I wouldn't have because I tuned the deck to be able to beat the aggro decks, like the human deck, and the Sublime Archangels allow you to like to turn the corner against those decks. And I know, yeah, Scotty Max been on it, and Willie Edel. If you actually compulsive research, I think it was last week. Willie Edel was on it with Scotty Mac, which was insane. And that was probably the most fun, like, just like, as an Aya player, I'm just like, oh yeah, like, get the popcorn. But, so I don't know, like,
right.
I agree with adding the oozes. I like Archangels, but he did not, and, you know, he did fine with it otherwise, so.
Right.
But I know what he lost to, and I feel like in testing, the Angels have been good against the Humans deck as well, so. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's on him.
Yeah, I mean, he told me that he did that, and I was like, well, I mean, that's fair. I mean, those are the kind of things. Like, that's a quick swap out without necessarily messing with the main deck as it was. So it wasn't
right.
It wasn't something that I found surprising, and it seemed like for Brian, it seemed like the move that he would see making, like, take out this cute card, you know, put in something that is, you know, a lot of people think is fine. But
right.
Obviously I think that Scavenging Ooze has a spot in main deck in the Naya deck 100%. And I think that might be like the only card you really look to put in there. So
it just—I mean—it just makes the curve a little bit like stranger because you don't really have the bridge card now. Like before, it was like Restoration Angel.
Yeah.
Like you're not playing Huntmaster, so you don't really have the bridge card from your 3-drop to your 5-drop. So like,
right.
If you have like a hand where you're—I don't know—you get some hands where you'll just be like, "Well, I'm not going to play anything this turn, but wait for my dragon next turn." So I don't
just,
know. I mean, it's
just
it's,
wait. You just hold on.
Good.
Hmm? Yeah.
I'm just saying, Sublime does so much with Omri, too. It's just like, it's
yeah,
just, oh,
that's true.
So sick. But
yeah.
But hey,
I
you
mean,
know, it's
there's definitely plenty of time to look into it and change it as you will,
right?
As you'd prefer, yeah. So let's go ahead and actually move into the Richmond Open. It was won by a white black. The standard portion, of course, which was held on Sunday, was won by a white black human deck. Piloted by good old
We're talking about white and black people, Morgan. Relax.
Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah. This will forever
together
be the Ebony and Ivory deck.
Alright.
Right. Well, AJ Sacher won
with
Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah. So AJ Sacher won with it. Which is kind of crazy. I mean, obviously I know you guys have looked at this deck. It's pretty interesting. It kind of, like, when I saw this, I was like, hey, you know, this is the kind of, it was reminiscent of the deck I obviously saw in Streetsboro. And, you know, kind of runs on the same idea. You know, we have these sack engines, we have Blood Artist, we have ways of getting humans, so we have ways of getting zombies with Zathar Necromancer. But he kind of just took out the red element and put in, you know, things like, you know, a one of Bloodthorn Vampire, put in Sorin, put in Orzhov Charm, put in, you know, Gather the Townsfolk and Lingering Souls. So That was kind of the idea with the deck. It definitely looks interesting, and something I don't think people were really preparing for, because there weren't a whole lot of what we see in the top eight with like the Jund decks is we don't see a whole lot of Pillar of Flame because the Reed Duke build didn't have any Pillar of Flames. They had Tragic Flips, and like that is a completely useless card almost with a deck like this. You know, you Tragic Flip a Doom Traveler. You know, if they have a Zathic Necromancer out, they're going to get a 1-1 or 1-1 and a 2-2. Like, that's terrible. You know, which isn't the same as if they, you have that pillar and it makes a world of difference. So, definitely an interesting deck. I'm not sure if, I mean, this could just be a flash in the pan. I think this deck might be, hated out somewhat. We have cards that can defeat this deck. I mean, this deck does have ways of fighting back, but.
I definitely think I like this more than I like just, like, junk aristocrats. But, like, it still seems weak to stuff like Rest in Peace. And I will say that, like, as much as I don't think Colonian Hydra is, like I said before, a $40 card, I still think, like a card like Colonian Hydra, like, makes this deck look really sad. Like, if they just haven't killed you, then, like, they can't... You know, like, this deck can stop a Reckoner and not care because it can just sack everything else. But, like, anything with Trample that's hitting hard... This deck's just like, I didn't beat you quick enough. I will say, I've tested against this a bunch just the last week on Cockatrice, and it's easy to forget how good a turn one champion, turn two gather. Wow, that's really Blink strong. Three. Like, that's hard to beat. So, yeah, I think definitely the deck is beatable, but there's a lot of good synergy here. The removal is still, you're only playing Tragic Flips and one Orzhov Charm, so, like, you can just get the hands where you have a bunch of Doom Travelers and, like, gather the Townsfolk, and your opponent just, like, laughs at you. It also looks like Electricry is really good here, but...
Oh, yeah.
So, Zathic Necromancer is just insane. Agree. Like, ugh. The Necromancer online with an Aristocrat is just, like, ugh. So good.
Yeah, just, watching that deck in Streets of Rogue play, like, just some of the insane things, like, first of all, increasing devotion with Zathic Necromancer out is just disgusting, first of all. You're just like, I'm just going to make all these 1-1s, and then you have to deal with this card, or they're just going to all be 2-2s. So, I definitely think that, it's good to see Zathic Necromancer have a good showing, and definitely excited to see what happens with it.
Yeah, I'm sad my baby boy Jund couldn't be any more than a bridesmaid once again.
That's all right. I mean, I still say it's the most powerful deck in the format right now. I think that it may not have found the right combination of cards to have in a 75. And
there's a ton of stuff for it right now.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like I said, Reed Duke didn't suggest any pillars or borders, in Jund 75. And I think that huge people took a pretty big influence from that, and I don't think they were prepared to combat what they saw. So I think that we need to reevaluate, as Jund players, we need to reevaluate the 75 that we play with. And I've already done that as well. I don't think that I necessarily need 4 Tragic Slips. I'd rather have 4 Pillar of Flames.
The mono white humans list makes me really, really happy. That was the first.
That is hilarious.
That's the first like deck I ever played like at a competitive relevant was mono white humans, and I built it myself, and I top four the bitch. So like, I have this little spot in my heart of like, man, I believe, and that was the only time, Mike, in my life I give you a hard time for being a brewer just because I like joking with you, but that was when I got the brewer bug. In my life, and I'm like, I took the mono white event deck and made it my own, and it was sweet. But like, I want to play this, man. Like, it costs 8 cents to build. Like,
you definitely have a good mana base. 18 planes, sure.
Yeah, I just need to borrow 4 mutavolts, and then I'm in the hood. You know.
You might as well just buy mutavolts. One of the only things we're buying from M14.
That's very true. The 4 Imposing Sovereign, too, which is sweet. I mean, this deck, the only thing that's a little awkward to me is, like, it's playing 3 main deck Thalias, but also O-Rings. It's like, you may actually never cast an O-Ring if you have a Thalia on play. But, like, the deck seems sweet, and just, like, Champion of the Parish is so good. Yeah. Like, with Red Green being as popular as it was, like Searing Spear gets embarrassed like really quickly with the Champion of the Parish. Like, oh, that's funny. So, and I like Banisher Priest too. Like, that card just seems like one toughness and, like, you know, power change, and you have a card that's like much better on curve. So.
Yeah. No. I mean, like. I'm surprised he's not playing Gather in here, but then again, I guess he went the more control route with the O-Rings main and the Brave the Elements side, and the Brave the Elements main. Like, he wanted to be a little safer. Johnny's techie and cute. Cause can you imagine that 5/5 Champion of the Parish coming over the top for a billion? Like, that's insane. Micaius is, like, interesting. I had never thought about that card. But I like it. Like, there's just, it's cute, you know? Like, I'm impressed that it top-8ed. That doesn't mean it's right, but, like, I like it. And I would play it in the event that I got crazy and forsook any opinions of my friends.
Man, how good is Renounce the Guilds in this deck?
Yeah, oh, right? Oh, my goodness, yeah, for real, like, get you. In a format where, like...
It's like Dryad Militant. Like, whatever.
Yeah, okay. Like, funny. I'll put 38 cents in my graveyard. It's fine. Like, Mono Green is top 3. Like, I thought that was really interesting, too. That deck list seems just kind of scary because it could just go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's...
Yeah, I agree.
So, like, I was playing against... I was playing against a couple of these all-in kind of lists. Like, this one isn't as all-in. But, man, it's really scary when your opponent just, like, starts playing elves and then, like, lands a Garrick on turn, like, 3 or 4. And then just, like, they go +1 and they show you the behemoth and you're like, oh, so I'm dead next turn. Like, okay, cool. Like, it's actually, it's a little strange. And I think this is actually a deck that you should probably watch out for. Like, I honestly think, like, you know, if you want to go away from the aggressive slant and just go elf ball like it was before. We had Elf Ball the last right at the tail end of the last format when you still had Green Sun Zenith and such, and man, that deck was really good. We had Kurt Crane had done really good with that deck locally, and I think this has a chance of doing that as well. As long as Creative Behemoth is around, should be a little scared. The Revenge of the Hunted also make me just like laugh. Like, how many people just like threw their decks across the room on Sunday because it was like, oh, Miracle Revenge of the Hunted? it was definitely an interesting top 8, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, I mean, it usually is, you know, the first open after a new set comes out. But I mean, we, you know, don't see any banned hexproof in the top 8. I think that the Gen decks kind of weeded that out. They are in the top 16.
They're in the top 16 though.
Yeah, they are in the top 16, but they're definitely close. So we see like 3 in 10th, 11th, 12th place, but I still see more, you know, Jund, and that's why I think like it's the deck to, more over the deck to beat at this point in time.
Right.
But with the changes that I think Jund has to make to its, to its 75, I think it might make us weaker overall to ban hexproof. So I'm not sure. I mean, we'll take a look and see. I still think that we need pillars or even something else that I was thinking of. Is Rolling Tembler. Could be something that Gen players might want to even move to as an answer to red green aggro decks as well as, you know, ban hexproof.
Yeah, that's a viable option. I played red green aggro 3 times in the 3 rounds I played at FNM on Friday. So like it wasn't fun. Right. Like I didn't have fun because that deck, like, it either goes off or you win, and it's like, you know, by turn 3 if you're going to win, and that's not fun. So, I don't know. I raged out of my mind on Friday, though. I didn't tell you this, Morgan. Do you notice how I just kind of pieced out of FNM?
Yeah.
This is actually a good story. It's actually worth it, I think. I told Mike. Okay. But, like, this guy I was playing round 3, right? One on one, playing this dude. He's playing red green aggro. Stomp him game 1, not close. And on turn 5, when I dropped a Thraktusk, he's like, "Oh wow, I didn't know Jund played Thraktusk." Direct quote, right? Direct quote. I didn't know Jund played Thraktusk. I'm thinking, sweet. I'm gonna be out of here in 10 minutes. I'm gonna go to Subway, grab a sub, kind of hang out with Morgan and my buddies, and it'll be a good third round. No, not the case. Game two, like, just,
did that happen?
No, game two, he like stomps me not close, right? Like, he just went off like four burning trees into a flame of four, and I was just like, if my next card's not a bonfire, you win. So like, wait, if my next card's not a bonfire and I can kind of like sneak and show a land into play that you don't notice, you know, like I don't win. And like, so game three, it's like a good game, you know, like, Searing Speared my Thragtusk, and I put a beast into play. He goes, wait, all you get's a 3-3 beast? And I was like, yeah, all I get's a 3-3 beast, I guess. That's all I get. Like, yeah, and then he was like, oh, so it only takes, like, two cards to kill that. And I was like, yes, it takes two cards to kill that. And, like,
it only takes two cards to kill it.
Yeah, this is the person I'm playing. This is my life. And, like, he swings in with his, like, Flame of Boar. That's his only creature. I block with a token because, like, right? Like, that makes sense. Half a card for his real card. No Blood Rush opportunity, so I block, puts this guy in the bin. Okay, cool. No board state at all. Because of, like, Burn and then, like, another dude that I had to deal with, I go down to three life, right? And I'm thinking, I have to dodge a Burn and then just drop a creature and I win with Kezig. Alright, so this is my life. We're going land go for a while. And then he, like, a Miracle Windmill slams a Burning Tree Emissary. Keep in mind, I'm at three. Miracle Windmill slams a Burning Tree Emissary. So I'm thinking, okay, that's all he's got. Because he just, why wouldn't he have played something else later? He goes, Burning Tree Emissary.
Right.
Like, resolves. He goes, float two. And I'm thinking, okay, pillar me to one, whatever, like, whatevs. He's like, I'm like, yeah, float two. And he goes, Searing Spear you. And I was like, what? I have never gone from so chill to irate in my life. Like, I was ready to kill this kid. And I was like, I was instantly irate. And I was like, why did you slow roll me? And he was like, what? And I was like, why did you slow roll me? It's been like five turns. This could have just, dude, just could have like upkeep, bap you. Like, if you wanted to do the classy upkeep me, that'd have been fine. Whatever. At least, like, I'm not slow rolled for five frickin' turns. Like, and I was just like, why did you slow roll? He goes, well, I needed the mana. And I was like, what? And like, I'm not typically rude to people, right? I don't think that's my MO. Like, I call myself a dick, but I don't think I am in the long run. I go, okay, look, you have a Stomping Ground, and that's a red one. And then you have this, he was playing Naya Aggro, I guess. I was like, you have a Temple Garden, and that counts as one of the gray ones. And a Searing Spear costs a red and a gray. And you could just shoot me for three any time in the past 10 minutes. And, like, I just snapped at this kid. And then I was like, he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, whatever. And he scooped up my stuff and just checked the drop slip. I didn't even sign the slip. And, like, put my stuff in the box, and I was like, Tim, I'm leaving. And then I just left. And, like, I feel kind of bad for treating this kid this way, but he slowed him in for five turns. There's no way he just knew. There's no way he forgot. You don't forget that. Oh, my goodness. Like, you don't forget. Like,
that's really good.
Yeah, like I forget to go, like, to the store and pick up milk. I forget to fill my car up with gas. I don't forget that when my opponent's at three and I have a billion mana, that I can Searing Spear him to the face. I don't forget that. I don't, oh my gosh. I was not a happy little planeswalker from the Shard of Jund, let me tell you.
I was not a happy little planeswalker.
Anyway, that's all I had. That's my story about my eponym. So don't ask me how I did this weekend. Because I didn't play real magic. I played against a guy that didn't know Thragtusk was in Jund and that he could cast a Searing Spear off of his lands. That's who I'm.
That's pretty bad.
I hope you listen to this guy. I hope you listen. Oh, I don't. I don't hope he listens. Anyway, how do we get back on track after that?
Well, is there a well? We'll kind of take a look to the future then. We do have a PTQ coming up in Lexington at I think it's A Plus Comics. Let me take a look here. Real quick. I just want to make sure that I give him a plug. That I certainly am planning on going to.
Not a G-Mom, man. This is impossible.
I really hope somebody takes over that site. I'm sad that she's leaving.
I would do it, dude. Like, how?
I mean, I guess having a kid is a legitimate reason, but whatever.
At least she didn't cheat on her husband.
Yeah, so... Hey, now. We're getting ahead of ourselves here. Getting ahead of ourselves.
That probably actually
was... So, yeah, it's the... So the PTQ is at A Plus Comics and Collectibles in Lexington, Kentucky. And I'm definitely planning on going. I'm trying to see if I can gather anyone else to go. I know Mike is going out on vacation again, so he will unfortunately have to miss the PTQ. But hopefully Jordan continues. hopefully Jordan will want to come with.
Yeah, I want to go. I'm going on vacation to see my best friend in Kansas City next week. So it'll come down to a numbers game of do I want to dip into savings? Most likely yes, if I'm honest with myself.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I'll just be at the PTQ on Saturday. Okay. Could you drive for gas? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we can work something out. I'm going to see if Elliot or anyone else wants to go.
Yeah. No.
And hopefully, you know, hopefully if some other things come through, it won't be so uncost effective to go. You know, hopefully in the future we can maybe discuss more into that in some other time. But so yeah, we'll definitely go ahead and, you know, kind of take a look at our decks that we plan on playing this weekend. So I think Jordan and I are both on Jund. Now, Jordan, have you any thought based on what you see from Richmond on some things you might be changing about your deck?
I was sick off of work yesterday, which is like, it's just as cool as being sick from school, except like, there's no one to tell you can't do anything that night after you've been sick. So like, it was the best. I went and drafted after sitting at home all day. It was the best day ever. I kind of copied the main deck list that came in second. Andrew Boswell's list that we just discussed. The main deck, I pretty much have the exact same. The key rune isn't as important as an extra removal spell. Because that's, you know, like the mana ramp's cool, but with the Arbor Elves in there, do you need more ramp? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
My sideboard's a little bit different, half due to card availability, half due to what I expect after this week. Jund Mirror, I expect to play it three times, you know? So Duress is Underworld Connection, Arrakis Return, Ruuk Thar, I still think is insane. Especially in the Jund Mirror when they have more spells than creatures. So, like... No, right. Fair. Very fair. But I have a 6-6 Vigilance Reacher coming at your head, so...
And they play their Olivia... And then you try to kill it and take six and die. Oh, shit.
I mean, yes, it's awkward sometimes. Yeah, I don't really have a response to that because it's a good rebuttal. I'm really worried about Hexproof. I have three Lilies on the side. Barter and Blood, which at four mana, it's kind of like awkward.
What is good? It's actually just insane against that deck.
Well, yeah, because a lot of the times, like, Lily is not what you want because they'll have their Dork and then they'll have their Panned Up Dude. And you'll just be like, yeah. Oh, sick. So,
but, I mean, the goal is to,
nice,
you
though,
know,
I mean,
Lily's cleanup.
That's true.
Don't forget the new rules.
Yeah.
Don't forget that you can, in fact, play a Liliana now and make them sack a guy, and the next turn play another Liliana and make them sack a guy.
You can do
like, that is... Well, you can't do it, but I'm saying on turn three, you probably can't play on both, but I will say that...
Right.
What? Even playing Cockatrice this week, I had someone play two Flagstones of Trocare against me, which are legendary lands, and immediately sacked them both to go searching for planes, and I'm like, hey, buddy, only one of those is sacked now. And he's like, what?
Oh,
I'm like...
Oh.
Like, you should probably know the rules. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So...
Wow, are those
good times with the rule change?
Oh yeah, most certainly.
What?
Playable still? Fuck.
Oh yeah, I think they're playable, but
yeah.
I mean, not as good. They're definitely not as good.
Right.
I mean, as far as Jund's, like looking at this main deck, it looks pretty good. I definitely like what I see. I don't know if I like the one swamp. I think that's really awkward. Like, I still like three forest over two forest, one swamp. I understand what it's there. It's there for the Burning Earth deck. Like, that's why it's there. But it's like, I'd rather just have something that, you know, deals with Burning Earth rather than just be like, well, I guess I will just have my forest and my swamp. I don't know. Like,
Yeah, I'm goldfish with a ton of hands.
I need another set of eyes on it. Yeah. Mike, did you have any idea about the Jund deck playing 2 forests, 1 swamp as a concession to, like, Burning Earth?
Well, you know what?
I mean...
Oh, sorry. Mike, go ahead. I didn't think you were here.
No, it's fine. I mean, it's... Thanks, buddy. That's nice to know. Like, oh, really, this guy's here. The problem is, like, I think in that deck, Burning Earth is just going to get you sometime. Like, it's going to be awkward if you, like, make your mana worse in an attempt to dodge a matchup. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to hurt yourself in other matchups by drawing lands that aren't as good. Like, I know that's terrible, but, like, maybe just, like... I mean, maybe it might be time to go back to Vraska as well. Like, not that I'm a huge fan of her, but, like, that's a permanent you need to be able to get rid of. So maybe Vraska is correct now, but... Yeah. I don't know if you damage your mana base with at this point in the format, like sometimes you just get got.
Right.
Yeah.
I definitely believe that.
I'm goldfishing a ton of hands with it the one way, with the swamp, and it's not awkward yet, but it will be. You know what I mean? There's going to be a moment where I really need to rip that. You know, the black red land for like the Dragon Skull Summit for the sake of something else. And I'm like, oh, well, that sucks, you know? But I don't know. I don't hate it yet, but...
Coming from experience, like, playing Boros Reckoner and Naya, like, I have to play Basic Force so I can play my mana guys in turn one. Been in some really awkward hands. And if you're going to play Liliana's out of the board, like, three of them, like, the hands you open up Liliana's in Forests, you're just going to, like, well, that's good. Glad I lost my mana base. Glad this happened.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Therefore, you'll want the Swamp, I guess.
So, but if you're just playing the duels anyways, like, you know what I mean? Like, so now you can't win your Hexproof matchup as easily because you're afraid of Burning Earth, which, I mean, it's right to be afraid of Burning Earth, but not enough to make you lose other matches. So,
yeah, I mean, that's true.
I agree. I played the 3 Arbor Elf, 3 Forest build that Reed had suggested, and, I honestly, like, I didn't have any other problems with getting, like, color screwed, like, ever. Like, I just got mana screwed in general, or mana flooded in general. So, most certainly. Especially with something that doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of card control, like Jund. But I never had any issues with it. I felt that the deck ran just, you know, peachy throughout the entire tournament. Some things that I don't like about it, I didn't like the Grafdigger's Cage. I don't think I ever brought it in. I would rather just have another scavenging ooze.
Yeah.
That's fair.
You said you're running 3 Arbor Elves?
Yeah.
You said you copied that from Reed. Reed's newest list has 2. I didn't know if you were looking at a different list, but or why you...
I don't know which list you looked at necessarily. I looked at the... It was the Reed's list from Thursday or Friday.
7/21.
Yeah. That was Saturday, so I couldn't have possibly... Had a chance.
It was Sunday, but yeah. I mean, he's got a new one. 21. That's
Sunday.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think one's going to make or break anything crazy, so.
Right. What else did he, let me see if I can find that list.
3 Scavenging.
It was 3 Forests.
Yeah. 3 Forests, 1 Rebound Crag, 3 Dragon Skull Summits. The big change that he made in the board was add a Cursed Deathhold, add an Underworld Connections, take away the Deathrite Shaman, which I kind of like Deathrite Shaman. I think it's a fun card. And even if it's not the best, I almost just want to play it because it's fun. A little bit of a Timmy, you know? Like
Scavenging just kind of knocks out of standard, I think, for the time being, though.
I don't know. Like, I just think like being able to do damage with it is insane. And then against aggro, like they're both good. More of the same, I guess.
I mean, I don't know. It depends on the matchup. Like against the control matchup, I might want Deathrite Shaman more. But I just think like the versatility of like Scavenging Ooze always gets a card no matter what, like the one you want. You know what I mean? Like whereas the Deathrite Shaman, like you're like, well, I really want this 2 life, but I really want to get rid of that flashback spell. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, then again, I guess Scavenging Ooze still exiles stuff. You just might not get added benefit. So. 1 green Papa Dude is pretty good. Or 1 green Pop, you know, Think Twice is pretty good. So, I don't know.
Right.
Or just the availability to play it and then not have to wait a turn to use it.
Also true.
No, yeah, I mean, I mean, you can play it.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know. I played Scavenging Goose, and it was insane. It was amazing, and I loved it. And people always had to deal with it when it came out. So, but yeah, I mean, that's all I thought about changing. I also wanted Pillar of Flames. I think Tragic Slip underperformed for me, and I really wanted, you know, Pillar of Flame to be there.
I think Pillar is definitely, if that's the major change for that Humans deck going forward, the next week it needs to be Pillar of Flame, probably.
Yeah. So.
Good times. Pillar Flame being awesome again.
So let's go ahead and we will move into kind of the big announcements that happened at San Diego Comic-Con. And there was a whole lot. There was a panel there, obviously. And there was, you know, quite a few things that were definitely announced. Now, have you guys been able to... review the thread, I guess, in MTG Salvation, since, you know, that's about the only place that this information's at currently?
I have, and all I can say is this. That it's awesome. Like, everything I've seen so far has been entirely awesome. Like it's... The art is insane to me. Like, I'm really excited about that. Just everything about Theros was happening. I mean, the other announcements we'll talk about a little bit more, like, I can go back and forth on, but Theros, I'm really pumped for. Like, it looks sweet. Too. I love flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the mythology thing is sweet. The Greek culture I'm a big fan of. So adding Greek gods and that kind of thing is just fantastic. Pre-releases sound like they're going to be sick. Like, you choose a hero, and you use that hero, and I don't know how they're going to make the game work around it, but, like... That's insane.
Yeah, so did you see the head of the Hydra that they previewed that goes along with that? So apparently at the pre-releases, you'll be able to fight, like, a Hydra as a team. Did you guys ever play the Warcraft card game?
That's actually that's at Game Day.
Game Day, I'm sorry.
But yeah, so you get your hero card at pre-release. No, I
know. You also get to use it there, though. Like, the Warcraft, the video game, like... They had packets where you would fight giant bosses, and that's what this kind of looks like. Is like you get a giant boss, and if it's anything like Warcraft, you get like special loot from it. So I'd be like awesome, like, oh, you killed the Hydra. Here's sweet promos, which I think would be awesome.
Now, from what I understood, what we're mainly talking about here is the hero cards. Now, these are cards that you just specifically will be using in you know, special events. You use the hero cards at game day. I'm reading directly from the article, from the thread in MTG Salvation. Yeah. So you use the hero cards at game day to fight the Hydra, basically. So you get those by completing the pre-releases. So, and it's called the Heroes Pack that you get, and you bring these cards back for each pre-release, from what I understood. Or it's an actual sort of transition you get for each of the sets that get released, where there's some element that you get to bring something back and continue the quest per se.
Question: what subthread
or the journey
is it under? General.
It's under. Oh yeah, it's the one I was looking at was the new info one. Okay. It says new info and magic panel at San Diego Comic Con. We can link that too.
Yeah,
but a couple of websites have gone through it.
Okay, yeah, I would want to read this. Like, it sounds. My initial response to having to bring things from event to event screams like selling it on eBay. Which, you know, like, they can't...
I mean, you get one in every pre-release gets one. I don't know. I mean, I guess it could be eBay stuff.
Well, yeah. If, like, it helps you at game day, right? Or am I missing something? Does it not help you at game day? That's just more...
It doesn't... It's just for a special thing that you can do at game day.
Okay.
I mean, these effects are minor. It's like, a special... They're minor effects, counter. Like, right. Stuff like a guy gets haste or deal one, you know, like, these are not, like, game-breaking effects, so I don't think these are going to be things that are worth tons of money.
Hey, give your Primordial or your Colonial Hydra haste. Tell me it's not game-breaking. Just kidding.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it isn't for... from what I understand, the cards aren't for when you're actually playing your opponents during a game day. It's simply for the Hydra event.
No, that's
because
fine. Yeah.
The Hydra. Yeah. But so that's all they're there for. It's just something fun, you know, to do that. That kind of get, you know, it's something unique and interesting that they're trying to do with it.
Yeah, no, I mean that makes sense. Like, so, I was worried that like you play against some guy who like got all six of these cards or something, and is like, "Yeah, I win," and then you're like, oh, "Okay, enjoy your mat that costs."
Right, and like I said, I don't think this is. Yeah, I just don't think I think it's just a special encounter that you can play against at game day. I don't think it's the actual game day, you know, event, you know, where someone is a champion. And I think that tournament structure is still there. I think this is just something on the side that people can do, or maybe something
like
separate,
this is an encounter. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Still,
yeah, it's something that you can do.
Like you guys fighting the Hydra
after the event.
Oh, sounds fun. Yeah, that part sounds fun.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I had it more in my head though, as like round one of Swiss, like, choose your hero, and I'm like, oh god, like I don't, yeah.
Right. No, these cards are actually literally broken if they are, you know, standard, like in your standard deck.
Right.
Like, they would just be horribly broken. Like, they're emblems that give creatures haste every turn. Like, no, that would actually just be terrible. It's specifically just for the special bit, but it's awesome. I mean, we've got a whole bunch of, we got a whole bunch of information about heroes, you know, yeah, most certainly.
Like, if you're a hero, right, you're a hero, you fight the Hydra. You there?
Right.
Huh? You're a hero, you fight the Hydra. Like, if you look at the art on these, it's like the side of a vase, right? Like, if you think like Greek mythology. So, like, essentially, like, your fight with this Hydra is being inscribed, story-wise, on the side of this vase. I don't know, it's like, it's really insane to me, just like, so the challenge with the Hydra is, like, being, like, yeah, I don't know, like,
it's recorded,
I don't know, it makes me, like, gush like a little kid inside.
No, it's super cool, like, your epic battle is being recorded for all of Magic's history to see. Like, future planeswalkers, when they visit this plane, are going to be like, whoa. Right, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it. It's super
cool. Do you remember Morgan the Marvelous and his cohorts fought the Hydra?
and his two fat friends, Mike and Jordan. Look at the chubby ones carrying the food. That's the best.
Right. And like we definitely we found out like there's gonna be five new
Sorry, that's really funny. I imagine this picture on the side of a wall with like you who's like skinny, and then there's me and Mike carrying these big bubbling cauldrons of stew, and like you're fighting a guy and we're sitting there thinking how we're gonna put him into a stew. I don't know. I just really want
this Hydra tastes delicious.
if any of our listeners can draw that, okay, we'll put it on like that, and that's the bit. Anyway, Magic's,
but I mean, like, there are definitely some exciting things about this set that there's going to be five, you know, God cards. But I mean, that's literally the card type God. That's pretty huge. We don't quite know what these are. Like, we don't know if that's like a super type or something like that. Like, we have no idea. I assume that it's they aren't like creatures dash gods. Oh, yeah. I hope not. Like, it just seems like a ridiculous.
Hey, we're Yu-Gi-Oh now. We did it.
And it's just like I mean, it could be interesting. Like, we don't know what these cards do. Like, we have no information about them. But I mean, that's interesting. Like, they have a different sort of border, sort of like.
The frame looks sweet.
Sort of like how, the frame looks sweet. They're gonna look sweet foiled, it's something kind of reminiscent of when they introduced Miracle. What was that?
Don't say that, because if they're like Miracles, I'll hate them. If they're like Miracles, I'll hate them.
No. But it's like, it's when they modified the border, like they did with Miracle cards. So not mechanically, anything like that, just aesthetically. Yeah. So, and there's going to be, you know, a total of 5 mechanics. 2 of them are going to be, one is a repeated mechanic brought back that strongly hits the flavor of Greek mythology. So who knows what that could be. One of them is a retooled mechanic that has been given a new name. So it's something that had potential, but didn't live up to it the first time out. So they fixed it and gave it a new name, basically. So that's interesting as well. And then we're also going to have just 3 brand new mechanics, one for the heroes of the set, one for the monsters of the set, and then one for the gods. So it's definitely something that is very, very interesting. And I don't know. I just kind of talk about it. Obviously, we all could talk about it just because it's a new set, and M14 wasn't necessarily spectacular, so we're just really hyped up about this.
Just the art just makes me so happy. I mean, the cards are gonna be an issue, but like they're probably not gonna be nearly as good as this looks. But man, the art is insane.
Yeah, gosh, this art. I mean, my favorite one is so far. On this thread, there's an image of a guy next to clouds that are shaped like him, but just like how it looks and like the greens and like the accents. Like I don't even care what this card does. It's probably like a crappy common, but it just looks sweet. And all this, you could just say that about so much of this art, that it just looks sweet. It reminds me so much of Innistrad, which is obviously something huge, since Innistrad was our last, you know, kind of the last time that we had like an original plane, since we're just kind of getting off of Ravnica, and Mirrodin was so close as well. Like, I think a lot of players are really dire for new planes and new things that haven't been done. So this is, I think people are just jazzed to see art that's just so unique to Magic, where we haven't really seen this kind of art before.
No, definitely. Yeah, it's just a different style, which is nice.
Yeah, most certainly. I just can't wait to see what some of these cards do. I think that's going to be the fun part, is seeing what is actually going to be happening with this. But obviously, we're a long way off from that, which is unfortunate, but it is what it is. And, you know, we'll kind of go ahead and take a look at some of the other stuff that was announced during the San Diego Comic-Con. We actually got a bunch of cards from the Vault 20. Now, we're going to talk more about this, you know, with our question of the week, just kind of give you a little bit of a teaser. But there are definitely some huge cards that were announced, and from the Vault 20. You know, we have Impulse. I mean, that's massive. Him to Turok. Yeah.
The art's cool.
Yeah, a lot of the art is actually really sweet. The Gilded Lotus art is actually really, really nice, in all honesty. And I think there was like another card that was announced.
Venser.
Did you? Oh yeah, Venser. Ink Eyes, Servant of Oni. I mean, clearly. I don't know if you guys, our listeners might not know the. Our listeners might not know the conceit of the From the Vault 20s, but this From the Vault 20 is actually cards from, you know, winning deck lists throughout 20 years of Magic. So one card per deck per year. They also announced this Planeswalker. He's blue. Jace the Mind Sculptor? Oh yeah, I think he's gonna be in it too, right?
Is he good?
Yeah, so yeah, Jace the Mind Sculptor is getting reprinted in a From the Vault set, so nothing happens. Literally nothing happens with that card. It'll still be just as expensive as it once was, and will always be.
Of course.
it's awesome, it's interesting to see, like, hey, you can have a way to get a Jace the Mind Sculptor for potentially, you know, $40 or $500 still. It's very interesting. I know that there are some shops. I know that there are shops in our local area that do sell these without markup, which is great. And, you know, definitely am happy to see that. You know, hopefully, you know, maybe I'll get my hands on one of these and then have a, you know, $200 to $300 card for no reason, you know. But the likelihood of you know, you landing one of these at MSRP, I don't know. I don't know about that one. But yeah, this is going to fly off the shelves. I mean, there are a bunch of actual playable cards. Like I said, him to Turok is playable. And Legacy, Venser, Saber Chavant, and Jason Mindsculpt, they're all playable in Legacy. And like, we haven't even gotten through all of the cards yet. So it's definitely something that is going to go off the shelves fast, is going to be something that people want, as usually the From the Vaults are. And it's super limited. Like, but as I said, we'll definitely dive deeper into that with our question of the week. And the last thing that was announced is the Commander product for this year. So there are actually going to be 5 new Commander decks, and they are Shards. So Grixis, Jund, Bant, Naya, and Esper. So we're actually going to have decks that are Shards, from what we can see. I guess we can't confirm that. They haven't announced that it's going to specifically be... they did. Yeah, Shards. Okay, so they did. They actually said that it was going to be the 3 Shards. Because that's... Yeah, last... when they initially came out, they did Wedges, so they're going to Shards now, which is awesome. And we do have some of the Commanders. We have the one of the Grixis ones, which is Jaleva, Nephalia Scourge. Now, and Mike, you said the mechanics for these ones were pretty interesting. So why don't you go ahead, read, if you have it up, read Jaleva and kind of talk about why it's kind of interesting for the Commanders. Because the other one that we'll kind of look at too is also like this.
So I think, assume this will be like a repeating, like reoccurring theme. What I do like about this too, it's Grixis colored, but Jaleva is Nephalia Scourge, so it's actually from Innistrad, which is sweet.
Yeah.
But so it says when flying costs, you know, Grixis colors, so blue, black, and red, and a colorless, it's a 1/3. When it enters the battlefield, each player exiles the top 4 cards of his or her library, where X is the amount of mana spent to cast Jaleva. Whenever Jaleva attacks, you may cast an instant or sorcery card exiled with it without paying its mana cost. Now, the really cool thing about this, and the other one they spoiled as well, says this, that, you know, it depends on the amount of mana paid. So it's a really interesting, like, nod to the fact that you know, whenever your commander goes to the command zone, the next time you cast it, you have to add, you know, more mana. So it's a really interesting nod to that mechanic without actually referring to this essentially made-up thing on a card. So it's really cool to see Wizards be like, you know what, we acknowledge this is part of the format. We're not going to identify it because we have a name for it, really, you know what I mean? But you get this idea that so the next time you cast her, she's going to cost 6, and then 8. And it really leads to some interesting deck design, because you most of the times you don't want to have to keep recasting your general. But in this case, you actually might want to keep casting your general, so you may want to
there's
die.
Upside.
So it's really interesting to... I think it's definitely, you know, it always impresses me when, like, we're thousands upon thousands of cards into this game, and they still, like, are like, oh, here's some design space for you. You know what I mean? It's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So, I like
it. Of course,
I like that.
We have to talk about, most certainly. Like, that's insane, especially for Commander. I know we're typically a competitive, based, podcast, so we don't necessarily talk about Commander a whole lot, but it is interesting to see that there is still design space and room to grow with this. So, I did want to talk about Prosh, Sky Raider of Care. He is, yeah, exactly. So, Kobolds. So he's a green, he costs 6, so he's green, red, black, and 3 colorless. He's a 5/5 flying legendary creature dragon, and whenever you cast him, you get X01 red kobold creature tokens, where X is the amount of mana cast, spent to cast Prosh. And then you can sacrifice another creature, and Prosh gets a +1/+0 until the end of turn. So like that is pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see kobolds. You know, they're definitely kind of harkening back to, Magic's history with that one. But is anyone else like? I hope they have kobold tokens in this. Like, is anyone else excited about that? Like,
oh, man.
How expensive are those going to
be?
That
would be insane. Oh, so good.
The World of Warcraft.
Though you could honestly just use old legend. You could just use old legends kobolds as tokens though, like.
Right, true.
So awesome.
But I mean, like, new kobold tokens. Like, they have to do it, right? I mean, they've gotten a lot better at putting tokens in decks that use them when they're pre-constructed, so I hope that's something that they do, especially since, obviously, it's going to be hard to get kobold tokens. They put them in
a 14,
so it might be
a
little bit
difficult. You know what? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Cobalt tokens. Sweet.
So, yeah, that was pretty much the big stuff here at San Diego Comic-Con. But it kind of leads us into our question of the week, especially with From the Vault 20 and then some other things that happened at San Diego Comic-Con. You know, we really wanted to talk about, you know, how we feel about, you know, these high-profile reprints. You know, what do these do to the community, to the secondary market? You know, it's... You know, kind of an interesting thing where Wizards is you know, using things like From the Vaults or some other things to really say, like, oh, we're reprinting cards or we're doing this or doing that. Now, some of you may not know, but at San Diego Comic-Con, Wizards had a set of the new Planeswalkers that were specially printed. They were black-on-black printing with you know, highlights basically for their color identity. So they had the Garrick that they printed had green highlights in certain places. It's hard to describe. These were foiled cards as well. If you haven't seen them yet, you know, we'll try to see if we can send you a link to some of them in the show notes. But they're very unique cards. No Magic card has ever had this treatment before, and they sold out of them by the second day of San Diego Comic Con. And now how much are they reselling for, Mike? On eBay?
So, like, I saw one of the guys on Twitter, one of the stores, was buying them at, like, $350 cash.
What?
So, that's, like, that's, yeah, insane. I'm not kidding. They were buying them. So, like, yeah, like, Wizards mentioned, now, they the whole point was they were going to give a certain amount out each day and then hold some over for mm-hmm. sale on their website after the Comic-Con, but some employees apparently messed up and just sold them all. So they took a rare product. And essentially, like, created even more hype about it and made it, I mean, it isn't any rarer than it was going to be, but it feels like it is. Does that make sense?
Right. Because so, people that didn't go to Comic-Con don't have a chance to get it.
That's exactly it. So, like I was laughing because, like, Chaz Andres was like, you know, you should really buy in these at $250. And I'm like, well, they're going to be on sale on the website. And then, like 2 hours later, he just looked like a total genius. Like, well, if you wanted them, you probably should have bought them for $250.
Oh man, see that sucks. See, I hadn't even known that they had just sold out of them, like, completely.
Yeah, they just sold them all out.
That's crazy. Like, I think that, especially with that mistake, like, it almost feels like, hey, shouldn't you just, you know, maybe try to print more? I don't know. Like, I mean, that seems kind of weird, maybe, but you're introducing a product that people want. These cards are amazing. Like, they look amazing. You're still not going to play Liliana of the Dark Realms. It's still a bad card. We still haven't broken it yet, guys. It's still not broken.
Trust me, we're trying. And okay.
Lady Walker, man. Lady Walker
versus. Nothing is working. But these cards look amazing, and people, like, collectors desire them, and I want them. Like, why not? They look sweet. Who doesn't want them if you're a Magic player? Like, so I guess some people, they're just like, I just play to play. Like, the complete spikes will be like, I don't even care. It's just a stupid card. Like, but it hurts. It hurts to be like, I'm never going to get one of those.
So what I want to, because I'm the one who, I threw out this question, and that's why I kind of want to ask you guys here. Like, so, From the Vault 20, which, by the way, has the dumbest emblem of a set I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's just a 20.
But, like,
how old is this, guys? I don't know, 20 years old. Oh!
20 years, yeah. But, so, like, yeah, From the Vault 20 and, like, these, you know, these Planeswalker promos, like, they already make, so Commander is meant to be played. That's a special set meant to be played. The dual decks, you know, of Heroes versus Monsters, meant to be played. You know, you can literally just play Magic with your friends out of the box. Modern Masters was meant to be played. So there's a place for these reprints that makes some logical sense. Like, you're gonna play with these cards. But From the Vault 20 and these Planeswalker promos here, like, I understand there's a collector aspect. I get that. But they aren't even meant to be played. They don't actually increase, like, From the Vault 20 is not going to increase the amount of foil Jaces in the world enough to actually lower the price in any way, shape, or form. But the collectors are going to want their real foil Jace, not their reprint foil Jace, so it's not for them either. It's very frustrating.
Especially,
like,
not the reprint with the 20 logo on it. Yeah, they're not going to want that one. You're going to get laughed at if you play that one at Legacy.
So how do you guys feel about, like, I'm not against them, but I'm not a big fan of these, you know, especially this, the, you know, the promos that, you know, I guess I get it. Comic-Con, they do promos, that's fine. But, like, literally, like, shutting the door on most of your player base, and you're never going to be able to play with the product. Like, it frustrates me. Like, does it frustrate you guys like it does me?
Yeah, most certainly. I mean, like, I guess, like, the From the Vault sets, they're always just, like, you know, From the Vault. Like, you never expect to get one, first of all, or you know, even play with these cards. Like, they are, I don't think they're designed to be collector's items, and that's fine. Like, I feel that most, like, video game is, video games are a good way to look at this. Like, video games have collector's items where they're just collector's items. Like, they are designed, they're statues, you know, they have nothing to do with actual playing the game. You just buy them because you're a fan of the series. And I think, like, that's Wizards' way of being like, hey, you're a collector, this is what you do, you collect these things, you collect these cards, this is why you have them. You're not trying to buy four of these so you can get a playset of Jace's. You're buying one of these and just having it adds to your other collection of From the Vaults. Like, I think it's a weird thing that they do. Like, you know, you built this competitive game that has this collection aspect, so it kind of seems just like, hey, we just want to throw you a bone. Like, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's what they want, but sometimes it definitely feels a bit like, why even do this? Why even try? You know? Like, it's something that's nifty, but it's not going to make I don't know what kind of impact you're trying to make from it, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like... go ahead, Jordan.
My opinion is... I guess I don't even know why I want to share it, because it's kind of boring. But, like, to me, it's... I thought of this analogy, right? There are things in this life that, like, I will never own, and I don't care to own, and they're really collectible, like a Bugatti, right? The car... I will never own a Bugatti in my entire life. Does that make me sad? Not really, because I don't want one. I don't actually think they're that cool. Like, this is kind of, like, really redneck and gross, but I would just rather drive a pickup truck, right? Or I would rather drive, like, you know, a car that gets better than 12 miles to the gallon. Like, so yeah, like, I'll never own one, and whenever they make them, the price of the older ones skyrocket, but I don't care. Like, this Jace the Mind Sculptor thing, it doesn't... It's like, to us three, it doesn't actually matter in the long run because we'll never buy them. We'll never play with them. Like Mike, me and you talked last night, we'll never play Legacy unless we're borrowing a straight-up deck. You know, like, I'll never buy Jace the Mind Sculptors. I don't know if I'm, like... It's a really boring response, I guess, actually, now that I say it out loud. But, like, I don't care because it doesn't actually affect me. You know what I mean?
I like that analogy a lot, actually. But I will say the difference is, like, if you go to, you know, if I'm going to go to a dealer, for, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I can go buy a Bugatti, right?
Right.
The only person who's buying...
Actually, stop it. You cannot.
Well, what I'm saying, though, no, the only person who's buying that, the only person who's buying that is a person who can. Whereas these are not marketed like that. You know what I mean? And they can't be. I don't think Wizards could market a product like that. Like, this product is too expensive for you. Like, this is... The joke here is, like... MSRP is this, and they're never going to enforce it, and it's just kind of like this big, like, joke, like haha, like, it should be, you know, $35, but get shit on, like, we don't really care. Star City, sell it for as much as you want. So it's sort of frustrating because they pretend like it isn't, and the high end car dealer is not pretending like this car isn't for you. They're not pretending
right,
that it
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Yeah, I could definitely see that point.
That's true. I hear that, and you're right, and I agree. And that part's frustrating because they tell me I can buy it, but I can't. I guess it's like if the Bugatti dealer was like, hey, we don't check your credit. And then I get there, and they're like, just kidding, we check your credit. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't have credit, and I'm in debt $1 billion. Like, looks like I can't buy a Bugatti. So I hear that. I guess that happens. I'll know I'll never buy one of these in Praxis. But then after I get over that, I'm frustrated that I'm lied to about the led to be disillusioned. Once I get there, I'm like, I guess I don't actually care because I'll never buy it at that price. And I just kind of forget about it. It jumps immediately out of my, like, kind of like when you're house shopping and a house just, you like it and you think it's cool, and then it costs $1 billion more than you ever wanted, and you're like, oh, this house is actually ugly, and you just, like, move on.
You're right. You know, this foil Jace made me realize that Jace isn't even good. Like, I don't even care.
I don't even care anymore.
Brainstorming for free every turn. I have 4 brainstorms in my deck. What do I need a repeatable one for? Yeah, no, right. Well, yeah, I mean, like, you get my point, I guess. I just, like, and I hear yours very true. You make a great point. Like, we're led to be disillusioned by Wizards when they say $35-$40, and then you can buy a 4 boxes of these things for like $1,500 on eBay, and you're like, 35 times 4 isn't $1,500. Like, so I mean, I hear you. I guess, like, I just don't fret about it because it doesn't affect me directly. But then again, if they did this with like boxes of, say, Theros, I would probably be a little upset. So.
Yeah, like each box of Theros is guaranteed to have one foil mythic, you know, like one foil Jace the Mind Sculptor, like one case, one in every case will have that randomly thrown in it, right? Like, for sure, like it has to be in there. Like, the prices of those boxes go up, and that's what I feel like they're doing here. And honestly, it doesn't affect you and me maybe as much, but like our buddy, you know, Brian, who top aided, you know, we talked about earlier, he is a cube enthusiast and loves his foils. And like the alternate art stuff like kills him because he's like, it's like, man, I really want to have this, but I can never have it. Like, I'm glad it exists that I can cry about it, but I won't own it.
That's true. It does affect people. And that's a good point, that it does affect someone that we're close to. So I see that argument. That's actually a really good point. Go to hell, Wizards. Go to hell.
I don't know. I wish they would stop. You know what I mean? Like either. You know, I understand they can't do it with like the online retailers, but like Enforce. Enforce who's, you know what I mean? Like, Enforce who's going to get the product, Enforce what they sell it for, you know what I mean? Like, like that would show they actually cared a little bit. And I'm not saying, like, I mean, again, even if they did Enforce that, the chances of us getting one are very slim. Luckily around here, we do have some stores. Heck, I know Empire, the guys you went, they're doing an event next week. It's a free event, and the winner is going to get one of those, which is really awesome, you know what I mean? And that's, you know, that's doing it right, because he's getting people in the store. But, like, a lot of places aren't going to do that. I know there's another place that I've talked about on here before in the same, you know, in the same region who's going to turn around and put them on eBay for as much as they can get them on, you know, immediately. So, that's frustrating.
There's going to be a store in Gahanna that opens them, takes out the money cards, and sells them opened. Like,
That's even better.
That'll happen.
So they take out, they take out all the cards? I'm confused. Like, you just buy in a Chromos Vengeance?
Well, yeah, they let you know, the store. Like, they tell you, like, hey, you're either getting this or this, or they'll like crack them, sell them singles, and you're like, what? Okay, like part of like why they're valuable is the box, like, you know, like original super,
right,
like in a cardboard
box. The die too, like dice.
Oh yeah, like there's like I've never bought one of these. Like I don't even know what's in them. There's probably tons of cool stuff in them. Hell, for 100.
Oh wait, I get why they did it. I get it from the Vault 20 with the 20 symbol, and then their die, the 20 symbol will be the 20.
For the first
time. Oh, man. This
Man. They did it. Oh, my God.
They broke the dice. Oh, my God. First time in Magic's history, Collector Dice will have 20 on it.
They'll have an accurate 20-sided spin down.
Oh, we broke the format.
Oh, man. Wizards. Oh, man. Good on you.
Everybody on
that. By the way, can you imagine? I shit you not. Can you guys imagine how expensive that die is going to be?
If you value everything,
seriously, it's gonna be like,
I don't want to think about it.
If you value everything equally, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be expensive. It'll be like $10.
Well, if you value everything equally, $500 for the whole thing, $21 to $23 dice. Huh.
Yeah,
it'll be more expensive than the Chroma's Vengeance. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I think that. It's difficult to, as competitive players like we are, it feels awesome to have these products that are out there, but it's a double-edged sword. It sucks that we can't buy them, or maybe we don't even want to buy them, but I got from the Vault Lands, and like I won it. I won the opportunity to buy it, I should say. but.
<That's the best.
laughs> No wait, or did I just, I won the opportunity to buy it, and it still felt good. Like, it still felt awesome just to have this super rare product in your hand. And it's just like, you know, finding a really old you know, a rare video game, and like just having it and like, you know, owning it felt good. So it's an interesting kind of thing. And I think like people still like it, even though it's wrought with like overcharging and stupid stuff, but people love it anyway. Like it doesn't even matter. People like waiting in line for stupid crap. I mean, think of all the people on Black Friday that just like are just waiting there for like a super sweet deal. Like this is the same kind of concept. You know, stores that sell over MSRP will garner these huge lines that want to get it, you know, and then, well, I guess they'll garner like 20 people, I guess. And then after that, people will just go away, but it's still there. There's still that want.
Hey, Billy, run.
I'm going to link an article to you here to kind of sum up what I'm saying about this. Darwin Caswell on Gathering Magic wrote about the Grand Prix problem this week, and he was talking in it about he talked about the Grand Prix problem, and he was also talking about how, like, he's done this in the past too, but, like, how you need to put the players first, like, as a company, and it's difficult for, you know, like, you feel like Wizards does want to do that, but then they've got Hasbro, you know, they're the corporate, you know, over their shoulder, so to speak. So, like, you know, and when I think about like putting the player first, and then I see like, you know, from the Vault 20 and all this kind of stuff, like it's like, well, nope, didn't quite get that one. Like that didn't happen. You know, didn't really put the players first there. So, I'm sorry, I think it's actually the wrong one. This is the dark side of Magic, the business. I'll post the right article up there. But it's definitely an interesting read. I know some people think Darwin Castle is a little bit archaic, I guess, like his, you know, because he's not so much a modern player, but definitely. Definitely what he said about that is interesting. This idea of, you know, the player should be coming first, and sets like this are essentially them printing money and giving those people who will get them an excuse to make tons of money off eBay, but not really help the game at all. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I can definitely understand that. It's something that I would definitely agree with. Like, you know, we bring, as a player, we bring more people into the game, we bring more money to Wizards, and in turn to Hasbro. I mean, putting that money back into the player base is, I think, it would be huge. But I can't necessarily say that I'm an accountant or anything like that. I can't necessarily say that I know the best place to put it. It's something that has to be said that Wizards is doing what it's doing and Magic is still growing. The best way to change things is to change that with your wallet. If you don't like the way that Wizards is conducting business, don't invest further into it, which is hard because this game is something that we love. But sometimes that you have to put your foot down about something. So if things need to be changed, I know, Mike, you're pretty good.
I will not buy this product.
Stalwart.
I will not buy this product. I promise.
I will not buy the Vault 20. I will not. You've gone too far,
you
Watson.
You didn't even have a chance.
You can't make me.
That's
all
right. Everyone else, but like the point is, like everyone else still will. Like that's the sad part. So
yeah,
oh, right. I mean, have to be buying it just to make money out of it, though, which is frustrating. But whatever. There, yeah,
that's also
value.
The other side.
Get your value.
That's the thing. Is our game for only being around for 20 years has progressed to the point where it's. They're like baseball cards without the game. Like, baseball cards are valued just on intrinsic, like, people just want them, right? Right now, a lot of Magic cards are valued on being playable, like Thragtusk, right? Its main value is that it's playable right now in a popular format. But these cards are going to be popular and worth money long after Sanctioned Play's dead. Like, Black Lotus sees how much play ever? Like, there's, what, 3 real vintage tournaments a year? I'm obviously being facetious, but like that card.
No, I mean you definitely the collectible aspect. This is true.
So collectible, but I don't, is part of our game that we have to deal with. I hate them as a player because they drive places prices up. I don't hate collectors, but like I'd be happier if they didn't exist financially, right? Like, but you know, they're a reality that we have to deal with.
True.
Unfortunately, I mean. You know, good luck go getting like a Barry or like a Derek Jeter rookie card. It's like over $200 right now. Like, why is Derek Jeter flipping horrible now? Like, I can't play with a Derek Jeter rookie card. If I played that in a match, everybody would look at me funny. Only like Dave Nolan.
I don't know. You could be like Dave Nolan who plays the steroid kids as his tokens.
I think it's the best thing ever. I think it's the best. yeah, I mean, that, I mean, that's all I feel about. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, there really isn't much of anything else to really, you know, go on. I mean, we're kind of just beating a dead horse at this point in time. It's not fun that they have these super exclusive things, but it serves its purpose. So we'll kind of move on to our last topic that we want to talk about. And like I said, I touched on a little bit in the beginning, you know, this sort of legit MTG thing that happened. And I'm going to pass it over to Mike, because I think Mike definitely has the better understanding of the situation in general. And then we'll kind of discuss it at large. So, Mike, you want to take it away?
So, Legit MTG is a local, I'll say local web presence, essentially, because,
Dayton area. Yeah.
So John Medina has done a good job of growing that brand, especially being on the A-team, and then bringing in, Heather Lafferty, who's Revised Angel on Twitter, and they've done a really good job with that. I personally have written for Legit a number of times. I liked it because they essentially, the whole point of the site was like, hey, we want the community to write. So, like, if you want to write something, it was really nice, because then you could have their editor, who, you know, was a legit editor, and would go, it was nice, you know, they had a place to post that stuff. And myself, recently, I'd gotten a little bit further into it. I was hoping to work on some stuff. And then, the other day, if you notice on, you know, if you read Legit, John Medina is now quitting the game for he had some little indiscretion with his wife. You can read his post on that, and is therefore pretty much clearing everything out of his life that isn't his wife to try and make it right. So he's trying to sell the website, and I know unfortunately that means Heather Lafferty has decided she's going to start writing for Gathering Magic. She wrote a post about that as well. So it's kind of depressing, and I know we wanted to talk a little bit about how the because, you know, we have an interesting community. So when John Medina posted this, a lot of people on Twitter were like, hey, you know what, good on you. Yeah, you made a mistake, but at least you're owning up to it. And then those same people turned around and accused Heather Lafferty, who was one of the, I mean, literally, like, she's like the nicest person in the world, and accused her of, like, essentially causing this. So we had, like, oh, man, you're the man, and, oh, man, we hate you. And it was actually kind of disgusting to see the dichotomy. So, like, I personally, I know Legit is going to hopefully keep going, and I'm going to try and continue writing for them, but it's heavy transition right now, so it's kind of sad. But it's definitely, it's been the talk of the Twitter town the last few days here. So, and I know, Jordan, we talked about this a little bit, because you were sort of confused about how everyone was, I think you were kind of glorifying John Medina a little bit there.
There was this interesting, I'm missing the word. The English teacher and Michael helped me out. Like, the two conflicting ideologies here with John Medina is built up as this hero in the midst of this. And then, her name's Heather, right? Angel?
Yes.
Heather from Legit, a writer, is like called a whore. And she posted some of her PMs saying, like, you caused John to stumble, and how could you do this? And, like, there's a lot of misogyny in our community, and I get that. But, like,
oh, yeah, that's, yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the posts that she posted was, yeah, this is why we don't like no whores. Like, what? This blows my mind, because if she is in trouble, Heather, if she didn't. She lives in Las Vegas. I've driven past John's house probably since I've driven through Cincinnati. Like, you know, halfway across the country, okay? Nothing happened.
Well, she said they've never even met, but that's not even, like, the point. I know you. I agree with you, the irony and sort of the ambiguity of it. Like,
yeah,
like
if anything, you know, it's burn one and faults, right? If that happened, which it didn't, but if it happened, it's at least half John's fault. So, like, you know, or maybe two-thirds. I don't know how big the guy is, whatever. But, like, God damn it. It's at least half his problem. So to put on Twitter, like, Medina, you're great for the community. We're going to miss you. You know, you're doing the right thing. You're so good. Like, we should look up to you, et cetera. And then to turn around and on the same Twitter post in the same 140 characters, call this girl a whore because she may or may not have slept with this guy. Like,
she did not. Don't even word it like that. She did not.
Yeah, you're going to call this girl a whore because she didn't sleep with this guy, and they're just working together as male and female. You're an ignorant whore. Like, you're an ignorant idiot. Like,
I mean, I agree with you, and I talked to you guys about this. Like, she was, like, quoting people who were saying terrible things to her, but not like, including their names in the quotes. And the reasoning for this is she wanted people to, like, who said terrible things to her to be able to see the reaction it got on, like, Twitter without destroying them. And I'm like, I, as a person, I'm like, how do you even have the patience for that? Like, if you're saying that kind of stuff to me, I'm trying to burn your house down. You know what I mean? Like, and she's, like, right. infinitely patient over this. Like, she's handled this, like, ridiculously well. But it's just frustrating to me. Like I'm upset that, you know, this has gone down with legit the way it is. But, like, watching this on Twitter has been even more frustrating because this person has been nothing but positive to everybody she's interacted with. And, yeah, and you know, John is not, you know, John Medina is not a hero. You know what I mean? Like, he did some awesome things, but, like, the irony in, like, celebrating him for leaving because of his indiscretions and then attacking her for her lack of indiscretions, I don't – there's something wrong in my mind here. It doesn't work.
I'm really upset. And, like, we talked about this yesterday a lot in, like, over Facebook chat, the three of us. Like, I don't hate John Medina, right? Like, I mean, people make mistakes, and I understand there's a total act of redemption, and, like, you can come out of sadness and depression – and, like, bad parts of your life, but, like you said, he's not, like, this conquering king. He was a store owner in Cincinnati. Like, you know, from, like, and I, like I said, I don't hate the guy, but from everything I heard about him, he was just a shark, right? Like, and good traders are. But, like, we shouldn't be building him up to be this, like, bastion of hope in the community of, you too can be like John Medina and get all this Twitter fame if you just cheat on your wife while you own a magic store. Like, I mostly feel bad for Heather. John seems like he's doing the right things now, and good on him for that. But, like,
I think just, for sure. I mean, he's taking the right direction here. But, man, it's terrifying watching our public community, like, how they feel they can act in public. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to call you whatever. I'm going to open up the dictionary. Whatever word I land on is the terrible thing I'm going to call you.
I want to Google bad names to call someone. Probably you. Whatever the first thing on Google says. Oh, there's a Yahoo Answers for it. These are my favorite. Heather Angel from Legit MTG. You are a slapper, dyke, hoe, tramp, fat, fugly, easy hooker. Yep, that's right.
I obviously this is terrible.
Like, good on John for moving forward.
Wow.
Shame on this community for building up the guy who's actually, like, the villain in this story and slamming the one who is, like, completely innocent. Who's just like, what, I'm a girl that works.
Who is the angel?
Yeah, right, no, she
is the angel?
Quite literally. Like, I mean, you're punny, but quite literally, she's done nothing wrong in this situation. You know? And even if she had, she hasn't. Don't mistake my words, but even if she had, so? Do you talk to another person that way? Ever? No less, like...
Yeah, that's why...
No less...
So terrifying. Right?
Like, I mean, like, I know that's all archaic to say, like, don't talk to a lady that way, but, like, don't talk to anybody that way, no less a lady. No less a lady you don't know.
Exactly.
No less
100%
a lady that. Over the internet. Like, grow a pair, man. Get out of your basement. Go to a bar and say hi to a girl you don't know. Say hello. And then get rejected and go home. And further build your misogyny. I don't know, I walked myself into a trap. But that's... but, like, I've said the same thing, like, three times in a row now, but, like, it really actually made me really mad yesterday.
I'm totally in agreement with you there. Like, it was disgusting. It was disgusting.
And there's a reason, like, when, you know, a chick friend jokes about, man, can I come to, like, check out one of your magic things? And I'm really nervous. And like, and this doesn't help me, right? Like, it doesn't help me want to break someone.
I mean, I don't bring my wife to a lot of events that aren't local. Like, you know, just because, like even if she wanted to play in the event, like, if she's, you know, if she's not going to take it as serious as they are, then she's gonna get hurt. Like, it's sad because I shouldn't have to worry about that. Like, hey, I don't want to walk into this room full of magic players and leave your side for a minute because they're gonna look up Yahoo Answers and call you all these names.
I have the link. I'll put it in show notes for people that are curious.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, thanks.
What a great thing to link in the show notes.
Right.
Oh, I love
it. What do you think here, Morgan? You're being so quiet.
I mean, it is a shame. Like, there's no reason for you know, this to be the way that it is as far as that goes. I'm getting better at not saying that, but I mean, it's applicable here. The way that the situation is that John Medina made a mistake, and he recognized that as an adult and decided that he needed to refocus his life. To do that, he needed to get away from the distractions that were causing him to stray from his convictions, from his relationships. And for our community to be anything else but supportive of that is terrible. And for them to go to be accusatory to a associate, to a coworker, essentially, you know, that's all that Heather ever was to him. For them to attack them, you know, for them to attack her in regards to something that was, you know, John Medina's choice to do this, you know, that is, it's awful. You know, it's like saying, you know, I'm going to have to stop the podcast because, you know, I've been performing poorly at work and you know, it's something I just need to refocus on, you know, and then someone attacking Jordan about that and being like, Jordan, you stupid whore.
Jordan,
you whore.
Jordan, how dare you not do Morgan's job for him? Or like,
yeah, he's got a cat to take care of. How could you put that at risk?
It's not even that, right? Yeah, it's like even a dumber example than that. It's like, Jordan, how dare you assist Morgan in doing his job poorly, even though you've literally never been to his place of business ever, except to pee in the parking lot.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, that's the key, though, right? Like, so she's like, yeah, just so you guys know, we've never even met. And it's like, no, doesn't matter. You guys somehow through the internets did terrible. It's like Jesus, like.
Yeah, because if she wasn't like a pretty girl, I doubt this would be an issue.
And see, that's the thing too. That's like really frustrating because there's so like on one hand we say as a community like, oh man, we want women to be doing well, right? And there's not a lot of women who write and like definitely for like legit, she's one like they have the deck tees, you know what I mean? But beyond that, there's like she's the female presence, right? So like we're like, yeah, good on you, you know, be that. And then at the same time, like when something like this happens, the entire community wants to attack her. Like it's like, oh great, you guys are actually just the scum of the earth. So.
It's like, why?
So, yes, I don't understand. To all of Twitter, you guys are scum, right?
Yeah, like, how many million users?
Yeah, the comprehension so, like, of the, like, of the backlash is just ridiculous, too, because it's like,
it is.
Are you upset because John Medina made a mistake and now he has to go away? Like, I don't understand your anger. I don't understand, like, where this is coming from. Like, I understand that it's an upsetting fact that John Medina made this choice for his life, but you should be wishing him well and not attacking people with no basis of evidence.
Right.
You know, exactly, that's just, it's terrible. And like, these are the people that ruin the game for everyone and keep us from being elevated into something that's a bit more respectable. And keep us in the dregs of, you know, people's basements and thinking that's all we do. Because we have, we do have intelligent, smart people that play this game that is a game of thought and of skill. Like you may not, you know, Bonfire the Dam may be skewing those numbers a bit, but there is some skill and there is some deep thought that it goes into this game, and the people that choose to be ignorant are holding the entire game back from being something that is, you know, that does transcend being a nerdy game and being something that is a little bit better or a little bit higher than that. Something, you know, maybe even like chess, where it's something that kind of transcends that mark. You know, not everyone knows what chess is. Everyone has played chess. Yeah, at some point in time, whether you liked it or not, everyone knows chess. Not everyone knows what Magic is. And you know, I think that Magic could be that game. It's been around for 20 years and it's going stronger than ever. And when you have 4,500 people go into one place to play this game, I don't see a reason why this could be just as popular, especially with the way that there has, you know, culturally speaking, been an influx of, you know, nerd is the new cool. Like, I mean, there's so many things that can bring this game to the forefront. And as long as we have those stupid, ignorant people that still get out there and say stupid, ignorant things, like, it's just going to hurt our community as a whole.
Yeah, well, very well said.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we were hard on a lot of people. So let me say, John, you're doing a good thing by manning up, doing the family man thing. Misrepresented this community and some other communities that he stands for. But I think it's honorable to go in a very public forum, like, guys, fucked up. I'm sorry. I'm gonna do it right now. Mm-hmm. That like he like Mike said yesterday, he could have, or I think Mike or Morgan said it, he could have done absolutely nothing. And just backed out.
Mm-hmm. He could have just disappeared.
Yeah, and we would all have been like, what happened to John Medina? I don't know, that sucks. honestly, that almost would have been better because then Heather wouldn't have got all this crap, right? Like,
that's true.
But like,
but I mean, like, is this your? Yeah. No, keep going, Jordan. Sorry.
No. I mean, that's the climax of it. I mean, like, I think.
Yeah.
Besides him misrepresenting himself, his this community, and some other communities that he's a part of, he's doing the right thing by owning up, manning up, you know, and trying to do right by his family. So I'm impressed by that.
Yeah, and, it breaks down to the sheer fact that people make mistakes, and this was one, you know. And it's awesome for the sheer fact that he, you know, like Jordan said, was upfront with the community, and that he was the one to put himself in the spotlight. He was the one that said that this happened, and this is what I'm doing. This is what I need to do to fix my personal life. And I'm letting you guys know that, you know, I'm fine, that I'm not hurt, you know, that I'm not, like, ill or I'm not dying. You know, it's something, it's a mistake that I made that I need to fix, and that you guys, you know, this is not something that you guys don't need to worry about my well-being necessarily, but just please send me, you know, good things so I can, you know that I have the support of community to heal my personal life and the mistakes that I've made. Cause we've all made mistakes. And I don't think that, it is hard when it does, you know, go against something that you have chosen to represent. But to be honest with it and to not let it just get out there from someone else, I think that's huge. Because there's not a lot of people like that in the world in today's society that'll be like, yeah, I fucked up. Yeah, I totally did. This is what happened, and this is what I'm doing to fix it. There aren't people that do that these days. There's no one that wants to take responsibility for their actions. And at the very least, John Medina is doing that, and I appreciate that within him. So I definitely want him to focus on his life like he said he wants to, and repair the relationships, because I know how important those are. And I know that in a second, like, if this game was compromising anything in my life that I hold valuable, that it would be gone. It would just be out, because there's some things that transcend hobbies, that transcend, you know, lifestyles, that are vastly more important than Magic. And I think as long as you have that within your realm of understanding, that you'll be fine. And I think that I'm glad that he is refocusing.
More serious matter, more than you ever quit the game, can I have your collection?
yeah. You can buy my collection.
LOL. I said, Gav, no.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was friend you
on that point. So as I said, so legit, from what I've been, you know, like, I've been told, like, through some of the writer stuff, he's trying to sell it. It will still exist. I know a lot of people have been like, oh, people are leaving. It isn't, as far as I understand, like, the entire plan is legit. MTG will still exist, and I'm going to continue trying to write for them. But I definitely hope that, you know, like, enough people in this see how, like, you know, John took the high road, did the right thing. A lot of people did not take the high road and messed with someone who didn't deserve it, and I hope in the future, like, better decisions are made because of this, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Most certainly. But guys, I think we're kind of overlooking the opportunity that we have here. Let's band our money together and let's just buy legit MTG.
Oh my goodness, dude. If I was in a different spot in life, oh man. Like, it's gotta be profitable, right? Like, if I was in a different spot in life, oh, like, heartbeat. Like, if I mean 40 grand in the tank, you know, like,
yeah
I'm pretty sure that there are easier ways that I can run something into the ground, so
probably just pass. Like a podcast every Tuesday night, am I right, fellas?
Exactly, this is basically free, come on. Why not? Oh man,
I just want to play Magic now.
Like, I will throw this out there, because before we go, I know that the A-Team said that they are going to do a mailbag episode of the A-Team with Medina before he's done. So mm-hmm. I would say, if you're interested in the situation and want to see how, like, I'm interested to see how the community asks him questions, because I want to know if it's like, you know, like, good questions or if they're just all being assholes. So I would say, if you don't normally listen to the A-Team, maybe tune in for that one next week, because I'm pretty sure that's when they're doing it.
If you listen to us and not the A-Team, you're an idiot. Like, they're insane. I mean, plus or minus John Medina, that show is great. Jay Bush is one of the best personalities. on podcast radio. You know what though? Like, let us know how you feel. I don't feel like we utilize comments or Twitter enough, maybe because zero people listen to us, and that's fine. Let us know how you feel in the comments or on Twitter or through our email, which are all going to be linked in the show notes. Like, what do you think? Like, do you think it's fair that if you think it's fair for some reason that Heather was getting crap, don't comment. But if you think, like, what do you think about Medina and what do you think about this situation or what do you think about anything we talked about, please, for the love of God, type a comment. Like, we would love to hear from you and we could talk about them on the show. I'll tell you what, I'm going to get crazy. If we get 10 or more comments, I'll buy someone an At Your Instep playmat.
Which are sweet, by the way.
They're sick.
They're amazing. Ship you
an At Your Instep playmat for $30. It's a $30 thing. So that'll be what happens. Yeah.
All right. I think I feel like that we need that to happen. That's got to happen. That's such value. You basically just gave
I'm
going to
go comment 10 times.
Listening to us.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Yeah.
Comments people can't comment it up. If I've played with you, I can't just, like, post 10 comments. I feel like I'm going to buy Dave a playmat. Like...
Yeah, we might have just we probably should have put some caveats in this one. Oops. Oh.
Figured it out. Bucks. like big tiers 1, big tiers 2, big tiers 3 are all on the, anyway. Yeah. Do we have anything else? I don't want to be negative for too long. Do we?
I think that I think we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. And, you know, we are going to be, I believe me and Jordan are likely to be at that PTQ in Louisville, Kentucky. And that is at A-plus game. So if you see us there, we will have our At Your Instep playmat. So we'll be identifiable through that. So come out, say hi. If we play against you, you know, you can wallop us and we'll probably talk about it on the podcast. And we'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.